and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can they find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and Astros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
All righty. We got the king of the strikeouts coming back to Houston, Jason Castro. And I'm actually excited about this. This is much better than dealing with a Dustin Garneau or even a, I don't know if he's going to even get a chance at this point, Garrett Stubbs, because Castro signed for 2 years, but this is a big deal. And did the Astros ever really make an offer to George Springer after he turned down a qualifying offer? God, there's so much for us to talk about on this edition of the Locked On Astros podcast. You can get Locked On Astros on Podcast App Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when getting your car, tell your smart device to play the podcast, Locked On Astros. Oh, I forgot even mention what Carlos Correa said. So I think we should start off with the very, very, very good, potentially good news. So what did Carlos Correa say on Astro Line tonight?
Carlos Correa basically said he wants to be a Houston Astro for his baseball career, that if the Astros want him to stay, that he wants to be a franchise player, and he wants to retire a Houston Astro, basically. And, you know, normally players, when they say stuff like this, it sounds like lip service and you're like, oh, okay, he's just saying that. But I believe the guy, like, especially after this year, especially after what we've been through, not we, but what the Astros have been through, and the way he put the team on his back in the playoffs, the way he got Framber under control against the Rays, and just the statements he's made, the boldness, the, you know, we are the apex predator and all that stuff that really annoys other fan bases. He basically told the guys, Robert Ford, because Robert Ford, you know, it's interesting that he would ask that, because normally I was watching a Twitter exchange, I believe between him and I think it was Kaplan or McTaggart. And they said, usually you don't ask a player when they're in the middle of arbitration, what, you know, what they want to do. And he said, since he was willing to come on Astroline in the middle of the process, then he knew that he would be willing to ask him. So he asked him and he answered it just outright. You know, what do you think, Eric? Does that give you hope that when the two sides come together, that something will get done?
I think that Robert Ford before the show just said, hey, because we've done this before. We've had people on and we're like, hey, do you want us to talk about this? I remember when I was did a solo with Bill Brown. I'm like, do you want to talk a lot about the thing, the trash can scandal? And as a radio host, you tend to kind of say, all right, tell us what we can talk about, what we can't talk about. So I'm sure that conversation went forth. But I think that what Carlos Correa from this discussion, from what I've heard, is he understands that this is not a personal attack against Carlos Correa. This is not the Astros saying, oh, we hate Carlos Correa. We don't want him back. This is the Astros saying, look, Carlos, we want to help you out. But at the same time, we're trying to build a winner for the 2021 season, and we're trying every little penny saved means we can maybe go out and get that closer or something like that. So Carlos Correa understands that this is a business and they're trying to build the best team, spend a less amount of money. That's what a business is. And so that's Carlos Correa has the business sense. He has the frame of mind to not take this personally. So yes, does this mean that he will be the next Craig Biggio, Jeff Bagel, who play their entire career with the Houston Astros? I hope so. I think that him and Jose Altuve, that would be a great combination. That would be the next Biggio Bagel combo. But saying it is one thing. I think that didn't George Springer say that he would like to stay, he would like to be Astro for a while too. A couple years ago. So it's, yeah, at the moment right now, yes, I'm happy about it. But you're fighting over, like, Carlos Correa filed at 12.5 million. The Astros did 9.75. Apparently, according to Bob Nightingale, they said, well, how about, Carlos, we meet in the middle and we'll give you 11.115 or whatever it was, million. And Carlos Correa said no. So he's wanting his full money. And then Astros are trying to save this money because they made another deal today. And this is something that we kind of talked about, just like the Michael Brantley deal. We kind of talked about it, then it kind of went away. We talked about Jason Castro, and then it kind of went away. So Jason Castro signed with Houston Astros today. At first, Ken Rosenthal said it was a one-year deal, but apparently it was a two-year deal. Welcome to 2021 journalism. This is where everybody just says what they hear right away before they hear the facts. But I haven't seen the breakdown. I don't know if you have yet. I know it's $7 million. That's a lot for Jason Castro. But I do believe I said $3 million when we're talking about that. I said like $3 or $3.5 million or something like that. So I was close. So, I didn't expect the second year. But, you know, I wonder if the 2021 season is like $2 million or something. And then,
well, so here's the deal. Season. So here's the breakdown. It's $7 million over 2 years, 3.5. And then depending on how many games that he plays in 2021, I believe there's an extra $2 million, like a bonus that he can earn. So if he, and I don't know what that number is. I haven't seen that number. If it's out there, I haven't seen it myself. I think Jason Castro coming in. So I know you had mentioned early on in the intro about, well, you know, Garrett Stubbs can kind of forget about it. They're going to have three catchers, Eric, on this roster. I mean, you know, you have the 26 man, because if one of those guys goes down, you have to have a backup. Yeah. And, you know, Garrett Stubbs too, being in the clubhouse, he can play second base. He can play different positions. He can
play left field. We saw him make that great dive.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, although I think, you know, some people are like, oh, Garrett Stubbs isn't getting his shot. Garrett Stubbs is still very young. Jason Castro, I know it was actually tweeted out, and I give him credit for it. Apparently Michael Schwab has a source, you know, within the team. And he says that he mentions it's, you know, different times throughout. And he said that someone close to the team had mentioned that the pitchers of the Astros were actually very happy with this, that they were happy that they had not only Maldonado still, but they have Castro now, because these are two veteran catchers. And there's been a lot of belly aching going on in the Astros fan base. Oh, I can't believe they signed him. He's going to hit under 200 and he's going to be a guaranteed double play. And I'm like, you guys aren't even focusing on why they picked him up. They didn't pick him up for his bat, but here's the thing. He's got nowhere to go but up for hitting. I mean, if the guy hits 250, can you imagine if he hits 250? That would be huge for him, because the way he's been hitting. Exactly. But, you know, that's the thing. You know, he knows the home ballpark. He knows how to pitch in this ballpark. He knows what hitters' tendencies are in this ballpark. His expertise is invaluable. And I don't think $7 million for 2 years is too much. And people saying that, they don't know what they're talking about. Plain and simple. This guy's still in the best pitch
catcher. For a backup catcher. Yes, it is a little high, but not super high. But he's not going to come over here for nothing. And I really think the fact that the Astros signed him for the extra year means A, they're going to be very patient with Corey Lee. Because Corey Lee has some development to do still as a catcher, because he didn't start catching until, I believe, his junior year or sophomore year in college. So he still has some room to grow there. So this will be the chance for him to kind of work on that. And also they have another veteran guy next year in case Martin Maldonado doesn't return, because he's under contract for one more year. So this opens up this kind of gives the Astros a little bit of a cushion, just in case Lee isn't ready next year, Maldonado goes somewhere else. You have somebody to do this. But the thing is with this is Jason Castro is known for his defense. Yes, he's not going to throw out a lot of runners. We know that. We saw that when he was in Houston, but he was a good pitch framer. He's not the same pitch framer now, but he's still a good defender. He's not going to let a lot of balls get between his legs, Gary Sanchez style. And so he's going to really just go out and do what he's supposed to do. And veterans respect that. Pitchers.
Wait, are you saying that Jason Castro is a better defensive catcher than Gary Sanchez?
You're a better defensive catcher than Gary Sanchez is.
Hey, you know what? Hey, I was a catcher growing up. That was my favorite position. And let me tell you, not much got past me. And Eric, I will say this, that out of the 24 guys that stole on me my last year playing baseball, only 23 of them made it. So only one guy got on. Only one guy made it to second safely. But hey, I was going to tell you this. So with these signings, Eric, with Brantley, with Jason Castro, with all these others, the Astros now are around $12.5 million to spare under the tax threshold. Okay, so I know last night we were talking some crazy stuff with like Ozuna and all that stuff. I mean, Jackie Bradley Jr. to me is the only target. Or
I would say go get right now is just go get Jackie Bradley Jr. Give him 12.5.
Would you do this? Would you trade a couple prospects, a couple guys for Kevin Kiermaier to clear some spot from the 40-man roster?
He's with the Rays. The Rays are going to want some pretty good prospects.
Or you think the Rays are going to want, like, they're going to want top talent? The Rays are the Rays.
They're going to want to Rays things. And if you want to do what you want to do while you're watching the Astros baseball coming up, why don't you go and check out Belching Beaver? And they have a damn good time. Go ahead and tell them a little bit about it, Brett.
Well, you know, off-season acquisitions are all the rave, and so we made our own. Tendering this contract with Belching Beaver Brewery. That's right. We love these guys. They launched in 2012. They're one of these breweries that started just from wanting to have a whimsical and fun time, just inspiring good times to be had by all. Recently, they partnered with the Deftones. Yes, the Deftones. And they created the Phantom Bride, named after their ethereal song. Phantom Bride IPA is a blend of Amarillo, Citrus, Simcoe, and Mosaic hops, delectably balanced for the perfectly drinkable mix of citrus and hoppy goodness. A truly original Deftones Belching Beaver collaboration envisioned by Chino Moreno himself and skillfully crafted by Thomas Peters. Sit back, put on your headphones, and drink away. They've expanded to Texas, and in the coming months, they should be somewhere around Houston, San Antonio, or Austin. But in the meantime, go to their website, belchingbeaver.com, and check out their amazing varieties, and go have a damn good time.
All righty. So, yeah, I know the Astros fans want another reliever. They want another outfielder. They want another starter. But I just don't know if the Astros have enough money in the budget. And I don't think the Astros are going to want to pay the competitive balance tax or whatever it's called.
No, they're not. I mean, you know, that's the thing. So, you know, everybody keeps sticking on this point. Crane said he was going to open his pocketbook. Yeah, Crane was saying that before pandemic. I don't really know that he was saying that before he knew all the money they were going to lose. Eric, I honestly don't think that we need to get another starter. Now, I think another starter at some point, maybe trade midseason, would be helpful.
Right.
But it all comes down to budget. Now, if you can give me a budget, a shoestring budget starter and a shoestring budget outfielder, Kevin Pillar or someone like that, and I don't know, you can give me someone like that. You know, Robbie Grossman's a left fielder, right?
Yeah.
Did he already sign?
Yeah, he signed with Tigers.
I don't know why I keep wanting him to come back to the Astros. I don't know. Anyways, I keep going back to that. My mind is stuck there. But the deal has not been made
official. I really think that they've backloaded Jason Castro's contract. I think that they probably made it a $2 million deal this year, just to give him that extra, that $1.5 million to kind of use his pen. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. Okay. I'm not saying it did, but I think they did that also with Baez. And so I wouldn't be surprised if the Astros are really trying to kind of squeeze through right there. But something the Astros can do is they're going to have a lot of minor league talent that they're going to have to DFA. So what about like a Taylor Jones? Why don't you trade Taylor Jones and maybe somebody else for a number six starter, somebody who you hope you don't need, but if you need one, it's somebody. So just because you're going to have to open up two roster spots right now. The 40-man roster is full. So the Astros are going to have to make some decisions. Yes, you can wait till spring training to add some players, but and maybe you can put Justin Verlander on the 60-man, the 60-day DL, IL, or whatever we call it now. But James Click has some decisions to make, and that's kind of why I'm thinking we may be seeing a trade for Benintendi. I think that they have some talent they can throw. Maybe they don't have to give up Forrest Whitley. Maybe Tyler Ivey, Taylor Jones, and maybe one other player.
I mean, here's the thing: Tyler Ivey and Taylor Jones makes an interesting. I think Jones is kind of an underappreciated talent. Of course, I don't know.
He has nowhere to play here. He has nowhere to play.
I know, but I'm just saying. He hasn't. I mean, obviously, he's either. I think he's got the tools, like you said. It's just kind of a logjam. But with Benintendi, if I can get away with getting an Ivy and a Jones for someone like Benintendi, I want Benintendi to work out for me though, because I think Tyler Ivy has a high upside.
Yeah, yeah. But we're talking about Houston Astros. A guy who is an all-star a few years ago. This is a guy that can steal 20 bases, and he had injuries last year. This is a guy that the Red Sox would be actually stupid to trade him. But you know why they want to trade him now? Because he has more value with 2 years in control versus in middle of next season. Then he only has a year and a half, and then next offseason, he only has a year left control. So, yes, they're probably selling low in a way, but I think that he would be a perfect fit for this. And even if he struggles, he's still a good defender out there. He can play some good center field. So we'll have to see what happens. Jackie Bradley Jr., if you bring him, he's purely for defense, and he can hit some homers every once in a while. We saw that, and I think he did it against the Astros in a playoff game. So
isn't he? He's also a leadoff hitter too, right? If I'm not mistaken.
He can be, yeah.
He can be. So you know, talking about that, leadoff hitters, I know we took a poll. It was funny. Like, I put this poll up, and then Jimmy from Astros Future put the same poll up. We had like, one person that was different. And I looked at both the polls, and both polls had Jose Altuve had, like, 70% of the votes. I believe I put Altuve, Brantley, Correa, and Bregman, and I didn't put Tucker because of seniority. So do you think Altuve is the shoe-in to get this leadoff position going into the 2021 season?
Shoe-in, no. He's done it before, but he's also – I know he's coming off a down season, but he's one of your better hitters. You typically bat him second, third, or something like that. I think you're going to see Bregman hit third. I think the best spot for him is leadoff, possibly Altuve, but you can also put Kyle Tucker up there. He's got some speed. We saw that he's got ability to get on base now, something that he did not have early in his career. So I could see Kyle Tucker playing there.
What do you think about Correa? No.
Listen to who's going to be free agents next year. Francisco Lindor, Trevor Story, Corey Seager, Javi Baez. So okay. He wants to get as many RBIs as he can. He wants to get as many homers. So and that's where he's good at. He's not a leadoff guy. He's not a guy that you're going to look to advance the ninth hole hitter to second base or something like that. But not Biggio. Altuve can do that and drag a bunt and still get on base. So, Tucker can do that. So that's right. Something you need to think of, but that's what Dusty Baker's job is. And he's got to manage this great lineup now. And this lineup, this is first time he'll have Yordan Alvarez in the lineup. So this is going to be an interesting dynamic because your team is pretty deep outside of your center fielder. So at this point, it's going to be your center fielder bats eighth and your catcher bats ninth, unless you go out and upgrade your center fielder.
And, you know, I think that's why Brandon was so excited about his idea of extending. Ozuna. Extending. Yeah, stop. No, we're not doing it.
It was an old joke on Talking Strokes.
Okay. Yeah. We got this right here. So you told me to start the timer.
Okay.
But anyway, so, you know, I mean, that's why, you know, Ozuna to him was like, dude, we got to get this guy. We'll just make our lineup all the better. Or heck, I don't know. I wish Lourdes Gurriel was a center fielder. We could trade a couple more Astros and get him to play with his brother and stick him in center field because he's got a damn good bat, you know?
Yeah. So I know everybody wants to add. Here's what I want to do. I want James Click to get into a room with Carlos Correa and say, okay, let's talk about this. We want you to be with the Houston Astros for a long time, and you want to be here with the Astros for a long time. We have Zach Greinke's contract coming off the books next year. Then you have Justin Verlander's coming off pretty soon, too.
Mm-hmm.
Is it next year or?
Yes, they're both next year, 33 and that's $24 right. million.
I forgot that Justin Verlander could never pitch for the Astros again. That sucks. Jeez. Oh, dang. I just depressed myself. But you have, what, $60 million coming off the books next year. So that's money you can throw at Carlos Correa to keep him stay. Now, if you're looking at in terms of this year, yes, you're going to have to get him to sign for maybe the $9 million and say, okay, well, that $3 million you want extra, we'll add it to next year or we'll add it to somewhere else down the road.
Yeah, you can back, right.
So you want to go out and you want to extend this guy. You want to get the Altuve, Bregman, and Correa in this lineup for a few more years, and then
next year you're gonna talk about Oswalt and Berkman. Anyways, so let me just Tim wrap Bogart. Up this point because we're kind of at that limit. So this is what I want to say about Correa. This is why I think Correa signs here. One, he's not going to get the max dollars he would if he was a always healthy player. Two, I think he does give the Astros the hometown discount. And three, he's talked about his family's connection with the city and he was drafted with them. And so for him, this is a personal decision and he still feels like they're competitive as well. And so I think those three reasons is what keeps Carlos Correa here. I don't think he's going to get a massive deal somewhere else. I think he'll get someone other names out there.
Lindor's going to get more. Story's going to get more. So, Seager's going to get more. I heard that MLB, whatever, they're talking the other day about Corey Seager being a Hall of Famer someday. And I'm like, okay.
Okay. All right. Well, no, I hope
if
so.
That's
good luck.
The view of people of Seager around baseball, then he's going to get more money. So I think Carlos Correa, because he's has had the issue of staying healthy. A good season was with trash can banning until last year. Then he proved that he didn't need trash can banning. But yeah, there's so many shortstops out there, and it stinks for him. But that's all we got for this edition of the Locked On Astros podcast. I'm glad that Jason Castro's back. He's not here for the bat, guys. He's here for the glove. And just imagine the great defense. And who cares? I mean, not that who cares about George Springer. I'm sad about that. But it's just weird that the Astros never tried to pursue him. And I guess we saw that also with Dallas Keuchel and Charlie Morton. If they declined a qualifying offer, that's their way of saying, all right, bye. Yeah. We'll talk about this some more. We'll talk about more about Jason Castro once the deal becomes official, because it's still not official. Is the Michael Brantley deal even official yet?
I mean,
it's been.
Why would it not be official? Yeah, it's. Yeah. I mean, yes, Eric, it's official.
Okay. All righty. So we'll talk to you next
week. He's not
going to
be a national
Astros podcast. He's not going to Nationals, really?
Right. Yeah. That's someone's tweeting out some stupid picture of him with the national jersey. I'm like, stop it already.
No baby shark. Right. Hopefully.
No.
Yeah, all righty. We'll talk to you next week on the Locked On Astros podcast. Don't forget to go check out our friends Sully over at the Locked On MLB podcast. And we will see you next week.